God's laid this chapter on my heart and some different lessons and some things here. But in Hebrews chapter 12, we did the first four verses this morning during Sunday school time, talking about getting in the race and the weights that easily beset us and the sin that besets us and being patient and consistent and the author and the finisher and all of the things that are involved in being in a race is exercise and food and nourishment and all the things that are involved in a race. But we're going to continue along in chapter 12 here this morning. But before we get into that, there's a song that has touched my heart. And it's from a quartet. And I would have you to listen to that song here just a moment before we get started, okay? Brother Don, are you ready back here? The three young men that refused to worship the idol when the music was played. And the furnace was heated seven times hotter than it was. And the people that put them in the furnace died from the heat of the flame. But the king looked down in there, old Nebuchadnezzar, looked down in there and said, "Hey, there's a fourth one in there, likened to the Son of God." They were in the flames, but they were walking and talking with Jesus while they were in the flames. When they come out of the flames, he wasn't with them, but while he was in the flame, he was with them. There are trials that come in our lives. Some of these trials are because of this world that we live in, sin and all things around us. Sometimes there's trials that come into our lives because of chastisement from God. And I stay away from telling someone that's what's happening in their life. That's between them and God, because I'm not smart enough to know those things. But I do know that sometimes God chastises His people, His children. It says in Proverbs, if you don't love them. And that's the way it's done, God's way. But some of the trials that come in our lives are just because of this wicked, evil, sinful world and all the things around that we live in. As I put up on the board during our Sunday school class, Jesus says many things to us when we're in some trials that we wouldn't listen to any other time. Let's look here in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5. "But have ye forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children? My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. Or what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, wherefore all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have fathers of our flesh, which correcteth us, and we give them reverence. Shall we much rather be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For a few days chastise us after their own pleasures. But he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness." Verse 11. "Now no chastisement for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceful fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." Verse 12. "Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it be rather be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man has seen the Lord. Look diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby may be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we just thank you for these wonderful promises we have in your Bible. And God, we just thank you for this wonderful encouragement that we have from your Bible. And God, I ask that you will in some way enlighten me to share with the people what you've shown me, that we might uplift Jesus, be strong for you, and serve our Lord. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. As I said, in many difficult times, Jesus speaks to us. And we would never hear when things are going well, because we don't tend to listen sometimes. There are all kinds of trials in this life. Some are because, as I mentioned earlier, of this world that we live in, the sins and things around it. Some of the trials that come into our life are of our own doing. Some of the things that we've done that wasn't right. Some of the mistakes we've made. Some of the decisions we made. Those trials come in our life. Consequences. As we said before, you have the right to choose whatever you want to do. But you don't have the right to choose the consequences of that decision. You can make the decision, but you don't have the right to decide what the consequences are going to be of that decision. Now, how a trial affects your life, that's what we're talking about here. We talked about God never promised there wasn't going to be a fire. God never promised there wasn't going to be storms. God never promised that there was not going to be chastisements. God says, you are living in this world. Look what it did to me. What do you expect less of it? But what matters is how you come through that trial. Whatever that trial is, whether it's of things of this world or things of your own doing, but how you come through that trial is very, very critical in your spiritual growth. How you come through that trial can make you or break you. It's not about if there's going to be a trial. It's how are you going to properly handle it. God loves us so much that when we disobey Him, He'll chastise us. Now, we've got some young people here today, and some of us were young once upon a time. And we tend to think when we're chastised that they don't love us. You don't love me. Well, we have a kind of a distorted view of love sometimes. Love goes with what I want, not what I need. And we tend to think sometimes God doesn't love us. He's not paying attention to my prayers. He's not listening to me. God doesn't love me. Well, listen, God loves you so much, He'll chastise you. God loves you so much, He won't let you play in the street, even though that's the best place to play ball. God loves you so much that He's going to put the dog on the leash so they don't run off and get run over. God's going to put you on a leash sometimes. And you know, we tend to know how long the leash is and how far it'll go and when it'll snap our neck and pull us back. But God loves you so much, He's going to take care of you. Everybody, all these little guys, ours young, they wanted a pet, our grandchildren. They wanted a pet. Well, the parents have to decide if they're willing to take care of the pet. Because, I'll take care of it. You know, that's fine for the first week or maybe the first month. But when it's the heat of the day and there's no water, or the yard's starting to smell because those landmines hadn't been cleaned out that they deposited out there, or different things like that, it tends to be a burden. But how much do you love that pet? Are you willing to take care of it? Jesus loves you so much, He's going to do everything in His power to take care of you. Whatever that entails. Some people, when they're chastised by God, get bitter. And that pulls them even further away from God. We must recognize and learn to listen to His voice. You've heard the expression, sometimes God puts you on your back so you can look up. You've heard that expression before. God has so much He wants to tell us. God has so much He wants to teach us. God has so much He wants to do in our life. But we have to listen. And God has so many wonderful things to say. He wasn't in the winds that tore up the mountain. He wasn't in the fire. He wasn't in the earthquake. He was in that still, small voice as He talked to the prophet of God. Oh, God can do all of those magnificent things. The author used to say, if you want somebody to listen to you, whisper. Because they think they're missing something. We need to recognize our need to hear Jesus. Now, someone said, Lord, if this is a trial, let me come through it the first time. God, if this is a test, let me pass it the first time. For chastising to be effective in our lives, we must endure it. If we get up and faint and give up because of the chastisement, we're never going to learn it. If we are wise, listen to this. If we are wise, we will love the Lord even more because He chastises us. If we are wise, we will love Him the more because He chastises us. If we are wise. When you get the speeding ticket, who do you get mad at? He's just doing his job. You was the one with the cruise control or your foot on the pedal. Why get mad at him? He's just doing his job. Why get mad at God? He's just loving you. Sometimes we call them love pats. But He's just loving you. You know why? Because He wants the very, very best for you. You know, I've often said we'll never understand how much God loves us until we see heaven. Until we see, as it said in Revelation, a lamb as He was slain. Now, it says the Word of God is profitable for all doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instructions in righteousness. Discipline is not what God is doing to you. Discipline is what God is doing for you. To learn something that we haven't learned in the past. How does a child learn that the candle is hot? By not, you tell them and they don't learn, do they? You tell them and you tell them and you tell them and they won't learn. But when they stick their finger in it, then they learn. They know that the candle is hot. We're like that too. God says, you can't get by with that. Don't you be going doing that. Don't you be listening to that bad music like that. Don't you be hanging around with those people. Don't you be listening to those jokes that you shouldn't be listening to at work. Don't you be looking at those people like that. Don't you be thinking about those things. You know the apple in the garden? Well, we don't know if it's an apple or not, but it was a fruit that told the tree of knowledge of good and evil, they told Adam not to eat of. Eve said, we're not even supposed to touch it. I don't know if she made that up or something he told her, I don't know. But you know what started when she thought about it and looked at it and desired it. And after that, the sin took place. Somebody said, we're not even supposed to think about that fruit. We're not even supposed to look at that fruit. And we're not even supposed to go near that fruit. But we do. Turn the TV on. Get all that junk in your house. Well, there's nothing on the radio to listen to, so I got to listen to this. No, that's why I made an off button. That's why they made CDs. You can get your own music and listen to it. Some good stuff. Well, the purpose of God's chastening is to teach us something. When we respond with the proper attitude to the chastening of God, we produce more fruit. Remember in John 15 about the vine and abiding in the vine, and he prunes the vine and takes away the dead wood that doesn't produce? That's what God's trying to do in your life. When that little puppy that you brought home, and so cute, and he starts chewing on the leg of the table leg. If you don't stop it then pretty soon you're not going to have no more legs. You're trying to train them. It's their nature to chew. But they got to know what to chew on and what they can't chew on. Give them something. Well, God's trying to train us. Don't go that way. Go this way. Don't do that. That's not right for you. You know that's wrong. Why'd you do that? He's trying to train you. But you look down at that little puppy and you tell him, don't you chew on that. He, huh? Don't you chew on that. Chews on it some more. You got to get his attention. You got to box his ears or something. Not to harm him. But discipline is what you do to help them. That's what God's trying to do. He wants you to be fruitful. He wants you to have a joyful life. He wants you to have some rewards in your life. Look in verse 7. If ye endure chastening, endure it. God did it with his sons. See verse 11? Well, verse 10 actually. For they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure. Talking about our earthly parents. But he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. being more like Jesus. If you say God never has chastened you, I don't think you know what's going on if you're saved. Because God promises He will chasten. And that chastening proves that you belong to Him. Now, we discipline our own grandchildren, but we don't discipline the neighbor's kids. They're not ours. God disciplines His people, His family, His children. And when that's taking place in your life, one thing, you know you're doing wrong. And number two, you know He loves you. And number three, He's working in your life. And number four, He wants you to be holy. And number five, He wants you to be Christ-like. And number six, He's got something planned for your life. And number seven, you'll be better when it's all over. That's what God has for you. That's what God wants to do in your life. But how do you respond to it? He wants us to be better equipped in our lives. Verse 11, now no chastising for the present seemed to be joyous. Well, yeah. But grievous. We don't like it. We're not supposed to like it. Talking to somebody down at the D home the other day, detention center here. You know, that's boring, all that stuff. I says, well, you're not supposed to like it here. You know? I mean, you know, what do you expect? It's grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth. It produces what? The peaceable fruit of righteousness. Are you at peace with God today? As a Christian, are you at peace with God today? Or are you trying to get away from God as a Christian? Are you at peace with God? Is everything all right between you and God? Can you say, I'm doing okay, God, I'm doing the best I can. We're at peace right now. Well, that's good if you are. But if you're not, then work through it and learn. And afterwards, the results will be a great peace that passes understanding. Some of the greatest times that we had with our son was after we applied the Board of Education to the seat of knowledge and realized that we did love him. Hey, there's a proper way. They need to know what's wrong. They need to know what's going to happen. Then you apply it and be consistent. Oh, it's hard to be consistent. Oh, man. But then after it's all over and all the spanking's over and the crying's over and all that stuff, then you go in and hug them and pray with them. And let them know you love them. Hey, that's what God does. That's what God does. He's just trying to hug you, trying to love you, trying to get close to you. That's all He's trying to do. Peaceableness. Peaceableness. That's what He wants to bring in your life. The yield of peaceable fruit of righteousness. The only way a Christian can be happy is be right with the Lord. A Christian cannot be happy and have sin in their life. A Christian cannot be happy and be out in the world. A Christian cannot be happy dabbling in sin, whatever it is, how big or how little it is. A Christian cannot be happy that way. And if you are a Christian, God's going to come down and chastise you. God's going to come down and get your attention. God's going to talk to you. God's going to bend you over His knee. God's going to take care of the situation. And God has thousands of ways of reaching down from heaven and applying a little teaching to our lives. But after all of that's done, after that's all taken care of, the fruit of righteousness, yielding peaceful fruit of righteousness to produce fruit. Other Christians, unto them which are exercised thereby. Exercised. You've been through it. Now look at verse 12. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. Well, I'm being beat up. God's working on me now. I can't do it. I feel so bad. Yeah. Hey, wake up. Lift up your hands. Straighten up your back. Hold your head up. You're a son of the child of the King. And He loves you and He's taking care of you. And He's doing something in your life. And after it's all over, you're going to be so much happier. You're going to be so much peaceful. You're going to have so much righteousness in your life. You're going to feel so much better than you're walking around. Hey. Just because things are going bad don't mean you're not saved. Hey, we talked about this morning, the race, focusing on the finish line. The finish line is where Jesus is. That's where the reward is. That's where the end of the race is. The day of the Lord. God's just trying to work with you. God's trying to do something. Hey, don't have a pity party. Some walk around a poochy lip, fall over your lip. You got it hanging down so far. Did your mom or dad ever say your face is going to freeze like that? You know? Hey, lift up those feeble hands that hang down and the feeble knees. And make straight paths for your feet. Keep your life straight. Keep your direction straight. Keep where you're going straight. Don't get off the path again. Didn't you learn? Least that which is lame be turned out of the way. Be lame. No, you're not lame anymore. It didn't kill you when He chastised you. You still got all your toes and feet. You can still stand up and walk straight. But let it rather be healed. Healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness. Peace. People hold on to bitterness. People hang on to anger. People hang on to resentment. And it festers inside of them. It boils inside of them. They get mad at the world. They get mad at somebody done something to them. I'm not saying they didn't do something wrong. Maybe they did do something wrong. But don't let it fester in your life. Move on. Move on. Because it will take your life over. It will fester in you. And it will cause a bitterness. And you know what infections and bitterness do? They travel. They don't stay in one place. You get an infection, you don't stay in one place in your body. It travels. Bitterness doesn't stay in one place in a family. It spreads to the family and around and cousins and all the way down the line. Sometimes they don't even remember what they're fighting about because they got so long ago. But that bitterness gets in there and it boils. And pride. No, not me. I ain't. God's trying to get your attention. Somebody was talking last week about she had somebody she didn't like. I had dreams about her having their hands around their neck. And I, was dreaming about how much they... Hey, I was reading this outline and stuff and it says, do you have your hands around somebody's neck? Listen. The purpose is to produce holiness. That's what God wants to do in our lives. I like this statement I run across. No matter how long you nurse a grudge, it never gets better. Bitterness spreads. Bitterness spreads through families, and bitterness spreads in churches. Gossip, bitterness in churches. That's my spot. Why did they take my spot? That's where I always sit. Don't you know that's where I sit? They didn't say hi to me. Hey, if you're teaching or preaching or something, you got 1,000 things running through your mind on Sunday morning. And as you get that tunnel vision, you don't see anything except what's right in front of you. You don't see what's going on around you. Well, he stubbed me today. His wife don't like me. Where'd that come from? You know? different things, All this stuff. All these things that start in a church. And they just spread. And it's a bitterness. All of this, it says in verse 15, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby may be defiled. We're going to have invitation here in just a little bit. We got a couple of areas we need to cover. First of all, naturally, is salvation. Do you know you're saved? Has there been a time in your life? Now, this really hadn't been a message about salvation so much. It's been a more message to Christians. Well, if that's what it is to be a Christian, I don't want to have none of that. Well, hey, where are you headed now? How's it working out so far for you? Think you ought to change something? There's only heaven and hell. That's all there is. There's God's way and no other way. But there hasn't been a time that you asked Jesus to be your Savior. This is the time you need to get that straightened out. Number two is, we preached about getting in the race. Laying aside all the weights that easily beset us. And laying aside the sin. And presenting your bodies a living sacrifice. Holding acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. Getting in the race. Not about being saved, but getting in a race. Getting involved. Being willing to make a commitment to God and put God first in your life, no matter what else is going on in your life. We talked about everything from hunting to fishing to everything else. The vacations and birthdays and weddings and all that stuff. Sometimes you just can't do all those things if you're going to be in the race. And then this morning we're talking about, if God's chastising your life right now for something, how are you taking it? Are you learning from it? Are you growing from it? What's your attitude? Or are you getting faint in the mind as it confuses you? Or are you just like those three Hebrew children? You're just in the fire because of the world, because you took a stand for Jesus. Their attitude was, our God can deliver us. I don't know if He will. I don't know if He's going to or if He's not going to. But it doesn't matter. We're not going to bow down to your gods. Sometimes God brings them through the fire. Sometimes they don't. Look at all the martyrs that's given their lives, as we read in chapter 11 of Hebrews. Where's your stance at for Jesus? Have you stand to your feet. We're going to have a time of invitation while God talks to us and God works in our lives. I don't know what God wants to do in your life, your personal life. Sometimes after a message like this, the preacher gets accused of picking on people. He knows what's going on. He's picking on me. He's picking on me. He knows. Hey, sometimes I don't even know if you're even going to be here. I ain't picking on you. I might pick it on myself a little bit. But you let God talk to you. You deal with God. I'm just a messenger. Dear Jesus, we ask that you will take this time, that you'll use it to your glory. If there's some here that's not saved, that today will be their day that they get it right. If there's some that need to get in the race, God, let them commit and give up and give in. And if there's some bitterness going on here, God, that we'll give it to Jesus and get rid of it, take it out of our lives. If there's some chastisement going on, God, that we'll take it and we'll love you and we'll learn from it. We thank you for these things in the name of Jesus.